Hello and welcome to yet another awesome edition of the Mac Show here on British Tech Network. I am your substitute interim host, the sub I host, Patrice, because our interim host Jeff had a scheduling conflict today and had to, like, he's doing a webinar in parallel. So, I mean, you know, getting paid and stuff, that's super important. He said he would join us later, so let's hope that works out. Then he will still be on the show. But with me, I have, as usual, my awesome panel, and I'm gonna start top left with David Ginsberg. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patrice. Great to see you. Great to have you back. We missed you last week.
That's true. That was a week ago only. It feels like longer.
You're out doing lots of work and traveling, and mm-hmm. we missed you last week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was in Poland. It was really good. It was really exhausting, and I basically slept the rest of the weekend, but it was good.
But otherwise, doing great. Yes, it's Friday. I'm always happy to be here.
That's awesome. And I'm guessing the weather is getting better and better in the Chicago area now?
Not really. No, it's been raining all day here today.
Oh no, that's too bad. Yeah, it's kind of, actually it's raining here too. So there's that. I realized the other day that I think Chicago is about the same, whatever is that, latitude, longitude. I always mix the two up. As far north as Linz, Austria is.
Is it okay?
So we're about the same, which is crazy. Yeah, so there's that. And also with me, we have, as always, I don't know how to introduce you, Chuck, like our resident soapbox speaker. No, I don't know. I'm kidding. Chuck Joyner, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know about soapbox speaker. I mean, come on now. But, you know, Patrice, I know you're into TV and, you know, mm-hmm. everybody knows CSI. But now you can sign your signature as Patrice Brenoir, SI, substitute interim host.
So oh, that's true. I should do that. I should add that to my signature.
Yeah, and that'll just confuse the daylights out of a whole lot of people.
It's like, what, who, what, where, why? I don't know. Yeah. No, how are things in your neck of the woods?
I'm like David. It's just a lot of rain going on out there. In fact, I just got a call that the golf tournament I was supposed to play in tomorrow morning has been postponed until the fall because they're expecting even more rain tomorrow.
So they couldn't do like a golf tournament like where you wear like scuba gear or something.
Unfortunately, you know, everybody thinks about the players and they forget about the course. And, you know, mm-hmm. when it gets that wet, the course can get really, really torn up really, really quick, especially greens.
That's true.
So they have to protect that. So a little bit of a disappointment. On the other hand, 50 degrees Fahrenheit and wind and rain was not exactly my idea of a great golf day. So
No, definitely not. I mean, there is one option. You could just fly to Phoenix and do it there, right? Nice weather.
You could, yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, the Phoenix Open already happened like a couple of months ago, so it's been a while.
So other than that, things are going good. Good to have you back. Missed you last week, as David said.
Mm-hmm. That's so nice. Yeah. Let's dive right in and talk about WWDC, because I realized, I think yesterday even, that DubDub is only a month away. Almost exactly a month.
It is.
So I'm already hearing from a lot of like the people I know at Apple, a lot of stress and a lot of work, obviously. I mean, to be fair, like for the last 2 months or so already, they're kind of starting to feel the pressure, which is normal. That's every year, basically. But Apple also talked a little bit about what to expect. And I mean, I think back in March when they announced it, they already said, I mean, one, it's going to be online only, or let's say almost online only, because they already said that there would be an opportunity to somehow watch it at Apple Park, and they're now detailing how this is going to work. So basically, you can apply online starting, I think, next week sometime. It's kind of like the old DubDub in a sense that you can apply and you can submit your name, and then you might get chosen or not. There's a lottery, basically. The upside is other than traveling to Apple Park, you don't have to pay for it. So it's not as in the past where you basically, you get chosen, you got selected to pay $1,600. You won the right to pay $1,600 for a ticket. So is that something you would be interested in, like David?
No, I'm not that much of a developer. I mean, I don't think I'd fit into the category. I know I have a developer's account, but that doesn't necessarily mean I am a developer. No, it's not something I would be interested in. Yeah, it'd be cool. It's just like buying a new iPhone. You have to go submit on May 9th. It says you got to go submit a request to maybe get picked randomly to attend. But nah, I don't. It's not my thing. I'll be on a business trip actually that month anyway, that week anyway. So I'm gonna end up missing WWDC anyways. Oh, no. So
who scheduled that?
Yeah, I know. I wasn't very happy about it, but we haven't gotten together in over 2 years, so.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, it's, I mean.
Probably longer than that. Probably 10 years I'm thinking about it. I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure. I mean, it might be nice to go to Apple Park, and it sounds like it's going to be actually Apple Park and not like some other outside place, because, you know, usually Apple doesn't let anybody into Apple Park. They're very protective of that. Let's say safe zone. The public for, I mean, other than if you get an invite, obviously, from someone. But normal people, we're not allowed in. But it sounds like they're actually doing it somehow in Apple Park.
Probably it's restricted area or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably gonna like rope everything off and have security everywhere. You can only go where they want you to go, obviously. It's probably not going to be super interesting, right? Because you're going to watch the videos. You might meet some people from Apple. That's it.
I thought they said they're going to actually let them go into the lab. The labs.
Yeah, there's this new developer center. Yeah. I think that they're
maybe what they show on all these the videos they do during the last announcements.
Really? I didn't hear about that. No, what they said is that they're also going to unveil the developer center, which is something. Right. Yeah, which is something they talked to, or I think was kind of, I don't want to call it leaked. It was Eddie Q who talked about it in the Epic versus Apple court dates during that, like all those documents and whatever, all the stuff they were talking about. There was one thing where he mentioned that they're working on something like this. So I said, I don't want to call it leaked because it came from someone who works at Apple and is in a senior position. So I think you can take that as a confirmation. But it also wasn't like a proper full announcement. I'm not even sure he was supposed to say it.
Yeah, probably not.
Knowing probably not. Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, as I said, this it sounds like it's going to be a place where you can, like, where developers can go to, yeah, if they have problems and work with Apple. And I don't know, they might even do whatever development courses and stuff like that. But we'll have to see. But that's about the only thing that's really interesting about going there. I mean, it's definitely not worth flying halfway across the world, or even for you. Like, it's still
a far pretty flight for me.
Exactly. Like for both of you, it's probably still not worth that, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, DubDub very much was a developers conference that started when it started. And then it kind of blossomed. There were some secondary conferences that happened around it I know I've gone to. And so DubDub week sort of turned into, not a big party, that is not right, but a big networking event. Yeah. As much as being about the developers. And now, you know, the situation has changed. And, you know, I think it's great that Apple is opening up some of these things for individual developers. But we're dancing around the same issue. You know, you're dancing around the expense of it, you know, a lottery, so that, mm-hmm. you know, somebody with all respect to people that develop flashlight apps, you know, so somebody that develops a flashlight app has the exact same chance of getting in as someone who develops, you know, a super sophisticated app. And
yeah, to some, you know, I mean, to some extent, yes. To some extent, no.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, Apple can't, it's just physically impossible to accommodate the amount mm-hmm. of interest, which is a really great thing. You know, it's a nice problem to have. And that's why I'm hoping at least a large part of this continues to stay virtual for the developer's sake, because they're, as much as I would enjoy talking to someone at Apple about, you know, whatever the topic of the day is, you know, I really would rather have them spend that time with the developers, helping them do what they need to do so that they can deliver all the great apps for the rest of us. And, you know, and that's not me being selfless. It's me being selfish. I want those apps. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need that conversation as much as I need the apps. So, yeah, I have to wonder if this might be, though, Apple's dipping their toe back into a version of an in-person event of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky enough that I was able to go twice, but the only reason why I could do that was, one, I was in Phoenix, so it was not that far, and still the cost was significant. Like, the flight was basically nothing, and it still cost us about $5,000 to send me there. And I would say it was worth it, because and not because of developer content, because all of that you can get online. And also, even the sessions, as interesting as they were, and as much as I learned, I think I could have learned that on my own. But the connections that you built. So it was worth it. But if I hadn't been there, like from here, from Europe, it's like, forget that. The flights alone are probably like 2,000 or 3,000.
Yeah. I
mean, so, yes. And then hotels are in all of that. Like it just gets way too expensive. And that prohibits like a lot of developers from going, small and big. Like even the big companies, they don't want to. I mean, if they send someone, it's like a couple people, like 1, 2, 3 maybe. So as nice as that was, it excluded a lot of people.
And it really does shine a light on some of the challenges that we still have. You know, as much as we like the virtual events, you know, there are aspects of an in-person event that still haven't been cracked in the virtual world. You know, I know we've all participated in a variety of things, you know, a variety of services that are trying to do that. And it's still really difficult to walk up to some, you know, virtually to someone and try to introduce yourself and create that connection. You know, sometimes even an email exchange back and forth is better than just trying to do it cold.
The chance encounters, like going to a lab and talking to some Apple employee about something, or like meeting random people in the hallway and talking to them, or like even more at like restaurants and like the bash and so on, or like walking down the street and then all of a sudden meeting Chuck and Jeff, for example, and not knowing that they were even there, stuff like that. Does not happen virtually.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to replicate that.
Yeah, I met developers for the first time at DubDub that, you know, I would not have met otherwise, because I didn't, again, with all due respect, their apps were not getting enough publicity, so therefore I didn't even know about them. But they were willing to walk up to me and say, hey, you know, here's what I'm doing. And it's like, great, you know. And those were some of my favorite interviews, because there are these off the wall cool things that are very, very niche. But if you have that need right there, it solves it. So, yeah, we still need to figure out a way to do this. And I'm not smart enough to do it so far.
And Apple is trying. They did a Slack, like a couple of Slack channels last year, which was kind of like a test one to see if this could be a way how you can connect people, and you connect also engineers with people and so on. Not sure this was the best idea, but it was, I think it, or let's say, not sure it was 100% there or which it could be, but it was a good idea. And they tried, I was happy that they tried, and I think it was overall still a success. Like, was it perfect? No, but for the first time, it was actually pretty good. And Bob Beach is saying, like, interesting, you're saying this whilst communicating via Zoom. Yes and no. I mean, if you know someone, then Zoom is a great tool, because you can, like, what we're doing, I can call David and Chuck and we can have a talk. Like, that's the easy part. But those chance encounters with people that you don't know, or that you maybe, as you said, have somewhere heard about, but like never really gotten in touch with, and have no connection with, that doesn't happen in or not as easily as in a virtual world. Because in the real world, you can, as I said, you can just go to whatever, you go to a pub and have some drink, and the person next to you is, I don't know, an Apple. What happened to me? An Apple engineer working on the Apple Watch Apple Wallet integration, and you have a bug that you have been reporting for the last 3 years, and you can talk to them. And this does not happen in print virtual, because it wasn't important enough that I would reach out to someone. I just was like, okay, forgot it. But then I met this person, we talked, and it came up. And we're like, oh, I have this bug, and he explained why they didn't fix it. Stuff like that does not happen.
And Bob, you know, you're right. It is interesting that we're bringing this up this way. But I know I've developed friendships with people over Zoom, because, you know, I've asked them for an interview about their product. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it can be literally years ago. I've never met a lot of these folks in person, but I still feel like they are definitely my friends. And I still feel like I have a good feel for them. But somehow there's that introduction thing that has to happen. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I've tried that a couple of times on Mac Voices, where we throw out, you know, an open YouTube link and say, hey, come on in. And inevitably somebody comes and spoils it and comes in and tries to be cute, or worse, tries to be just flat out disruptive. And so, you know, you trying to weed those out, you know, I mean, if Patrice were to throw this out, I mean, Mueller could show up and, my God, you know, we'd be in real trouble. So, you know, sorry, Mueller, but no, it's, I mean,
no, he actually has the link, so he could join.
Oh, well, that's true.
No, you're right. I mean, it has happened. The whole reason why I know Doc and Steve from Tua and Kelly and so on was because someone started the Google Hangout when Steve was out 1 week, and then jumped on. So it can work, and it does happen. But as you said, it is not easy. And it can be dangerous. It can go either way. And I think that's the, especially for Apple, especially for a company as big as Apple, as prominent, as visible as Apple. If they threw out a Zoom or whatever and said, hey, just join, like, forget that. That would be absolute insanity.
You'd like to think that there's some way to limit that, you know, okay, you hate to say the first 20 people in, or the first 30 people in, the first, you know, so, and if they did it through a private Slack channel, then there'd be a much better chance of something like that happening.
That's what they did. Mostly.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. So, you know, so there are some options out there, and there's still some experiments to be tried, but it's just, you know, I think a lot of folks, it's, you know, their experiences with Zoom in their companies. Well, yeah, that's great, because, you know, somebody probably invited you to that. It just wasn't a town hall, throw it open and say, come on in. There was some sense of organization. So yeah, it's still a challenge. It's still a challenge.
It is, and my experiences with hybrid, that's the big buzzword these days in the corporate world, you know, setting up rooms that are hybrid enabled, you know, putting in devices that are specific to a platform, you know, I hate to say that it's a Teams, the rooms they call them now these days with Microsoft Teams, but you set up the devices, and it It is actually a device that sits in the room, and you don't have to have a dedicated you don't have to have a dedicated laptop for that. It could just be a device that goes right to the Teams room with the camera connected, and making it a much better experience in a conference room. And but Zoom is the same way. You can get Zoom rooms as well. So I'm not just saying Teams. Zoom has the same types of devices too. But that's you're seeing a lot of manufacturers like Lenovo and others that are creating just a little, you know, touchpad device that'll sit in a conference room, plugs into a webcam, and has a USB and webcam and HDMI connection to, if you wanted to connect your laptop to share that information and not tie up a laptop, and also have a better experience in the hybrid world. Because I think hybrid meetings are here to stay, and we're going to experience that, whether this is with WWDC or any of these meetings, that this is going to be something that you have to be really good at, we're getting there.
Speaking of Zoom, Zoom must have heard us, because my Zoom just crashed.
I kept it going for you, Patrice.
The stream couldn't hear it because that came from my machine. But you kept it going. That's good.
At least it'll be on the recording. So.
Yes, for sure.
I want to throw this in the chat room. This was a device that I saw at. Just getting it.
I know which one you're talking about.
The Owl.
Oh, I'm thinking something else.
Owl Labs. I think I'm pretty sure this is the one. If it's not, you know, but this too is a video conference camera. But if I remember correctly, this is the one that, yeah, it is. It intelligently, you know, tracked. It's a 360-degree camera, but it intelligently tracked who was speaking, and therefore would shift the video that goes out to the person speaking. And I mean, even now, I know, you know, demos can be made to look great, but this was the first thing I've seen that really like made sense, because unfortunately, otherwise you're trying to set up a camera and inevitably somebody's back is to it, or somebody's, you know, just only in profile, and you really don't get that same sense.
Or you have a really nice view of the meeting room and you cannot recognize anybody because it's right.
And that's what happens. Yeah. These technologies are really advancing. I've worked with rooms in my job that we have rooms that you can be in, and actually the camera follows you as you go, as someone speaks, it knows it. And I'm sitting in a boardroom style conference room, you know, you got the device at the end of the table, but someone is at the front of the table on the other end. And as they start talking, boom, it just, the camera moves right to that person. So the technology has gotten just so much better. And that's the next part of a hybrid meeting room is going to be, is looking at to have those kinds of cameras and such that do that, because you're right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you go into these meetings, we all do it. We're going to a Zoom meeting or a Teams meeting, whatever it is. And yeah, it's a big wide view of the entire room. It's like, who's that talking?
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 I don't know how it got into a discussion of this, but this is really interesting because, you know, there are very definite huge advantages to virtual meetings, and there's still some downsides to it. And unfortunately, even with some of this technology, it's not going to scale to, as Patrice said, to some of those random interactions and the random things that happen. Because that happened to me a couple of times at NEB, where, you know, you sit down, you're waiting for something, or, you know, you're standing and eating lunch, and there's an open spot at the table, so you end up talking to a couple of people and you make a connection of some kind. Exactly. So yeah,
that doesn't happen.
Like, yeah, that's, I mean, sure. all those developers from Brazil that I connected to, I don't think I would have ever connected to them otherwise. Or the developer from Germany who works for Ulysses, I didn't know that person.
Right,
it was stuff like that, like. The nice guys from the Ukraine, from like MacPaw and from Riedel and so on. Like that is the part that you cannot scale, and that is the part that you cannot replicate easily. Not saying it's impossible, maybe someone comes up with a really cool idea, but it's so far been really hard to do that.
But you know, forgive me, I'll take this in a different direction just a little bit. But I think it's one place where the marketing industry could help all of us, you know, by being a little more selective instead of just throwing it out there and seeing, you know, throwing it at the wall to see what sticks, you know, target some people and then, you know, do just 10 minutes of research. Because I know I work with a number of really great marketing people who, you know, they represent different clients. And some, you know, they'll send me something and say, hey, this is coming out, or, you know, we'd like to, maybe would this be of interest? And if I say yes, well, great. Then everybody gets what they want. If I say, yeah, you know, let's save that for the next time, or let's save it for later. And if, you know, they acknowledge it and it's fine. You know, it's not, okay, well, they write me off the list and I don't write them off the list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if you develop that relationship and that credibility, I think it's something that the marketing industry could serve everyone a lot better.
Yeah, good point. So Bob Beach is saying this is a long discussion. Speaking of long things, I'm going to move us on to something long that Apple released.
Yeah, sorry, Bob.
It's a cable. No, it's fine, because, I mean, we're going to talk about the update the next month, because, I mean, we have our keynote poker coming up. And there will be inevitably leaks and stuff that we're probably going to talk about. So this is going to come up. But it was a good, let's say, a good start into the month of the next 2 months. Well, the next 4 months of DubDub content for me. Because, you know, there's like the lead up, then there's DubDub and everything that happened. And then as the betas come and so on, we see what happens. So this is the lead up to Christmas, right? At least Apple Christmas. So yeah, Apple has released a new cable. It is a pricey one, I must say. But if you want a 10-foot, so about 3 meter, Thunderbolt 4 Pro cable, so a cable that can handle Thunderbolt 4 USB 4 data at the maximum transfer speed at that length and can charge up to 100 watts. And you have $159 or £159. Now you can buy one from Apple. Any thoughts about that? Is that something you would even consider buying?
No.
No.
I would go to OWDC. OWDC has always got great cables as it is. Mm-hmm. A lot less money than this.
But, okay, so I'm accused of being on the soapbox. This is for a very specific audience.
Yes.
You know, someone that really, I mean, 10 feet, you know, that is a long run of cable.
And 10 feet, and it can do, I think, 8K content.
Right. So, you know, and eventually, just like everything else, the cable will come down in price. So right now, this is groundbreaking and, you know, call it profit taking if you want to or whatever. But, you know, I don't think it's for anybody here. I seriously doubt it's for too many people watching the show or listening to the show. But if you need it, you need it.
Yeah, exactly. And Apple's cables are never the cheapest. They're rarely the best, I would say. There's always something that's a little bit better in one aspect or another. But they're good. They're good. Like if you don't want to think about which cable, which company, whatever, you go to Apple. Works. So And I think from what I've seen and read, this is actually probably the only cable right now that you could buy. So that's a good thing that we have it. I mean, I'm pretty sure Anker and all the other companies will come out with their own versions and it will probably be less than $159. But for what it is and that it comes from Apple and it's a really nice cable. It's like braided and I said it's an active cable because at that length you need an active cable. You can't do passive. Probably it does. I mean, 115. Honestly, for the people who would buy this, this is not a. This they don't think about $159.
True.
They will buy five because why not?
And you can buy a slightly shorter one too if you want for 1.8 meters at $129. So you didn't really need that much length. I mean,
yeah,
but save a few bucks.
To be honest, why would you buy the shorter one? Unless you really only want a shorter one and you really only need a shorter one and you just don't want to deal with the extra 5 feet.
This, I don't know, when I saw this story though, this again feels like it's clickbait in some way. I mean, it's it's obviously accurate, but you know, and everybody seems to get head up over, you know, oh my God, Apple's charging $159 for cable. And it's like, you know, just Patrice, you summed it up, you know, all the technical aspects of this cable. You know, this is not, you know, your grandfather's USB cable.
Yes.
Right. You know, this not is
the $2 USB cable.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the ones that you go to the drugstore and find, you know, right beside the chewing gum. You know, this is an 8K active cable, you know, just like you said, Thunderbolt 4. I mean, all the specifications. And if you start to understand those specifications, then like you said, it's like, yeah, you know what? That's not all that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So for, I mean, if your monitor, I mean, just think what an 8K monitor would cost you. If your monitor or your equipment costs that much, I don't think a $159 cable is your problem. Like it could probably cost $500, and if you really needed, you would still pay it. Like it, because it doesn't matter at this point. You need a cable that serves a very specific job for your business. So it's that there will be others, 100%. That's what always happens. Someone else, like now, someone will start it, and then others will see there's a market and do it. But it makes sense given, like, given what we've seen, what Apple does. It's a studio display, which is not 8K, so it doesn't need this cable. The Mac Studio, like all those, call them professional, studio professional tools, the Mac Pro and so on. The Pro display, maybe this is an indication that the next display will need this cable. Who knows? I mean, eventually, probably anyway, right? Just a matter of when, not if.
Interesting thought.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it takes another couple of years, but I could, it's some future point. I could totally, if Apple keeps doing displays and keeps doing Pro Display XDRs, they will probably do an 8K. Yeah. It's actually an interesting rumor. So maybe the next Mac Pro and the next Pro Display HDR will need this.
You heard it here first, folks. The rumor started exactly. Right here.
We have absolutely no sources whatsoever, but we just came up with something. Yeah. As I said, at the end of the day, it's a cable. Buy it if you need it. Don't buy it if you don't. Right?
Yeah. Like okay. Just about any product you can name, you know, if we all want it. I mean, who doesn't want it? But do you really need it? Does it make sense?
I mean, even if I wanted it, I don't even know what for. Like the displays I have wouldn't even use a fraction of that power.
Well, then you'd
of that bandwidth.
Then you'd have to buy the displays to go with the cable. Patrice. I mean,
okay.
That makes perfect sense, right?
That makes perfect sense. So you buy the cable first, and then you need the display because now you have a cable that can do more than your display.
Exactly.
Okay.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got time for another short story, probably. There was a press release yesterday from actually Apple, Google, and Microsoft talking about something that I think all three companies has been talking about for the last year, 2 years, 3 years, something like that, like depending on. Like Apple started talking about it last year, I think. I think Microsoft and Google for a little longer. Talking about a potential passwordless future. Or a future where you don't have to remember your passwords. Let's put it this way. And all three companies are partnering up to expand support for a FIDO standard that would make this available across services and platforms. And I'm really interested, David, because you work in like enterprise IT, whether that is something that you would be interested in.
Oh, I was always interested in passwords. God, I have major headaches with passwords on a daily basis. I mean, getting help desk calls all the time. I'm locked out. I can't get in, especially on Macs, because that's a whole other story. But yeah, just password sign-ins in general are always just a big headache to manage. Microsoft does an okay job with the way they manage things as far as how passwords change. You got to set the systems properly. With everything set up in Azure these days, it's gotten better versus Active Directory. That was by far the worst way of managing passwords. But this is definitely something that could be a nice thing. I mean, that you can have this and then satisfy information security the folks and those teams that they get the blessing of security, that this is a good standard that's going to work. And that's I think that's the biggest key. You know, big corporations, they follow the NIST standards. They have to follow those standards to a T. And if you're not, then you're not a certified company that should be doing business, because if you don't follow those specific standards, you're in trouble. So if this falls under those standards, yeah, I think this is something that'd be great. And believe me, the users will be ecstatic not having to have passwordless sign-ins for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in the press release, Apple says password-only authentication is one of the biggest security problems on the web. And managing so many passwords is cumbersome for customers, which often leads consumers to reuse the same password across services. And despite the fact that, I mean, I think we are probably all using password managers, we also know how hard it is to convince others to do so.
Very hard.
Yeah.
And a lot of companies don't allow them. They just don't find them to be secure. They don't meet the security requirements.
It's true.
So password storage is not something that is generally allowed in many companies.
Which fascinates me, David, because you know that all that does is it absolutely guarantees that there are going to be less secure passwords used. Because unless I keep it on a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet or something.
Or a sticky note for that matter.
Or sticky
note under your keyboard, right?
Well, but the thing is, sticky note under the keyboard actually in some ways may be better.
If you don't reuse your password, yes.
Maybe. If we don't reuse the password. But you know, if I need to cut out of a document and paste it into the password field, at least I have half a chance of maybe, you know, doing something bigger and better. But there's zero security on it. And so, you know, if the password managers out there don't live up to the standards, I'm not sure whose failure that is, but my God, it's got to be better than just letting an employee run loose. I mean, just earlier this week, I was handed a password for access to something. And it's like, really? I mean, you know, are you serious about this? You know, you have the year in the password. You have the name of the service in the password. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But
I had a discussion about that with someone recently where they were talking about secure passwords and how to create them. And someone was saying, oh, you should put the name of the service in the password. And then maybe replace some of the characters. And I'm like, that's the first thing I would try.
Sure.
I wanted to hack the password.
Right.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Still, I mean, I think we all talk about it on every show we're on, and people, you still run into it. It's like, you know, I know it's no fun, but you know, password manager, just for heaven's sake, people, please, please be careful, because you know, you can cost yourself a whole lot of money and even arguably worse, a whole lot of time to try to recover things and some of them you may never get back.
Yeah.
So
and I think that's where we're getting to the point where, I mean, the physical device that you have and some kind of biometric access to that is probably a better solution than a password. Because I mean, in the background, what happens is it generates a passkey, which is a very, very long password, like hundreds of characters usually. And that's, nobody would be able to remember that. But you don't have to, because it's on your device and your device can give that out once you have authorized it to do so. So yeah. I think this is the better way.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's just like every security discussion we have. You know, if you can make yourself just a little bit less of a target, if you're using 1, 2, 3, 4 for your password, you are a target. If you don't turn on,
and you live in, on planet Spaceballs, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, I mean, it's not that hard. You know, just use anything that doesn't make sense. I mean, and I'm not going to go through all the usual password advice here, but just that. And I mean, in the Bob Beach says, damn it, Chuck, you just told everyone my password. Yeah, sorry. but you know, and the number of companies that refuse to turn on two-factor authentication is just unbelievable to me. So, sorry. Maybe I am a soapbox.
No, it's fine because you're absolutely right. That's the thing. And as I said, I think Apple, Google, Microsoft, and a whole lot more people are realizing that it's simply with how technology is progressing, and I mean, I think even with like better computing methods coming out almost every day. Like with computing on like on graphics cards and quantum computing and all of that, it's simply not feasible for us as, let's call them, stupid human beings to remember. And I mean that the best way to remember those passwords, because computers are so much better at cracking them than we are at remembering them. And so we have to do something.
Yeah, and the bad guys are getting smarter and they're using better and better equipment all the time. You know, and they're, I mean, okay, I'll share this one and then I'll let it go, I promise. But this week I got an email at my work address saying that I had bought an Acer laptop from Walmart, and here's my receipt, and click here to, you know, confirm the order. Now, I'm guilty of a lot of things, but I will never be buying an Acer computer from Walmart. It's just not going to happen. So this is obviously someone who clearly does not know me, but you know, you could see somebody saying, "Oh my God, I didn't order this. Click, I need to fix this."
Yeah. You know, so, click. Oh, I should log in with my bank account data. Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Sure.
Yeah, and your social. Yeah.
And you're and your social, exactly. To make sure it's really you, please enter your social.
Yeah. So you know, there's so many things out there, but at the end of the day, Patrice is right. The computers are getting faster. The bad guys are getting smarter, and they're becoming more and more determined to get to you one way or another. And it's just, I can't.
And I mean,
soapbox. Mm.
This new FIDO standard and this, it will not be 100%. Nothing is 100%. There is still a way to crack this. There's still a way, like if you've got physical access to your device, you might be able to use it, stuff like that. Nothing is 100%, but it's still the better way to go. And as I said, I'm very happy that the three biggest companies right now in let's say hardware are getting together.
Yes. You remember what we were saying earlier about, you know, giving out the Zoom password and just somebody popping in randomly?
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's
you should really have learned this lesson by now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hi, Jeff.
Right where we're wrapping up.
Oh, yeah. Well, my timing is great. I just finished my webinar. And so I thought, well, I'll just click the link and see if everyone's still here.
Yeah, we're still here. We were waiting for you. So Jeff Gammon, the iHost. I said I'm the substitute iHost. So
does that make you the iHost?
Maybe.
Interim.
Yes.
No, it's the SI host.
Oh yeah, the SI host.
Substitute iHost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mueller's asking if the pants shop was open.
Oh, he's been on a.
I don't even know what those are.
No. How are you doing, Jeff?
He's been on a roll.
I'm doing great, and you know, I figure even showing up just at the end for me, this is awesome because I love hanging out with all of you.
You know, we still got to see you, so that's
and I get to see all of you.
That's a win. And you know what's also great to see? our sponsor, TSL Host. TSL Host is our hosting company for everything BTN does. Like we got two really awesome servers. They have been rock solid, never had any issues. I know that like other people, if there was any questions they had or anything happened with their account or they messed something up. The support has been really good with TSL Host, but I've not needed it. I think there was once some general outage, but there was communicated it and resolved it pretty quickly. So other than that, I've all the issues that we've had were caused by me. So I cannot blame TSL Host for that. That's just me. So yeah, they're a really great hosting company. They do web hosting. Like if you need a website, like a WordPress site, they do servers. We do. They have domains. If you want to buy Jeff Gamet's Pan Shop, you can buy that on TSL Host, for example. Actually, we should check if that's available. It's just a really, really, really good company. And the cool thing is, they don't even ask you to buy anything from them. They just support us, and all they want is a little bit brand recognition. So all they want from you, as you listeners, is to go out on the social medias that you use, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, I don't know where else they are, and just say thank you, TSL Host, for sponsoring BTN. That's all they want. And the other cool thing is, if you are in the market and you need something, like you need a server, a domain, or like web hosting package, anything like that, they have an offer code for you, BTN20. That gives you 20% off. So I think that's a cool thing in itself, right? And speaking of cool things, let's see if Jeff can remember how the chat works. I'm going to throw you under the
bus. I can't even be mad at you for doing that. All right. So let's say you want to join us for the live chat, participate with everyone else that is talking smack about me like Mueller is right now. We do have a live chat for that. So you can find that by, okay. So if you go to BritishTechNetwork.com and then I think there's, hold on, we're going to do this live. BritishTechNetwork.com. And then if you click there, then it takes you to /chat. And hey, okay.
I gave him a visual.
Oh, I'm not even looking anymore.
this is priceless.
Yeah, this is awesome. Okay, so when you want to watch a train crash, just play this again. Okay. Anyhow, BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. And then there's this beautiful looking calendar and click on the day that you want. So today is, I have no idea what is today. Today is May 6th. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can see the show in there somewhere and click on that. And then you can see everything. But if you want to participate live, when you click the watch live thing on the BTN site, there's a button in there you can click and get you in the chat too.
Yeah.
How'd I do, Patrice?
Not too bad. Chat.britishtechnetwork.com also gets you to the live chat right away. But other than that, all the key info is in there. Good job.
Well done.
And speaking of a good job, let's talk about the cool things. David, start us off.
Yes. I am going to say the cool thing is Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I'm so excited. I watched part of the first episode last night. I finished watching Star Trek Picard. Oh my God, you guys got to watch it. No spoilers.
Yes.
It was pretty amazing. But this show is now basically bringing on the story of Captain Pike and all. I feel like I'm watching the original series. It was just so cool. Just a few minutes I watched, I got to watch the rest of the first episode. It made me, as this was coming out, I wanted to go back and watch the stuff that related to Captain Pike. And like a Mac user, I came late into the game. I did come late into the game in Star Trek, I'll admit it. But I wanted to go back, and it was cool that Paramount Plus has the old pilot from the original series, to episode zero, The Cage. So I went back and watched that. It's like, wow, this is, I don't ever remember watching this before. I never did. So I watched that, and I watched The Menagerie, the two part with him as well, and got caught up and getting better understanding about Captain Pike. And of course, he was in Discovery as well. So, but this looks like it's going to be a great series. I'm super stoked, and I felt like I was watching the original series again, seeing the USS Enterprise, and it's a great show. I think it's going to be well received. So check it out. It's Paramount Plus in the United States. I believe it's what, Amazon Prime in other countries, in UK, I believe.
Yeah, and they're also launching Paramount Plus, I think, in the UK soon. Like,
oh, they are. June. Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. It's coming to other countries as well. Like, very, great. They said, I think, rest of Europe later this year. But the UK, I think, gets it in too.
Good. Yeah.
Paramount Plus, I watched it too, 100% with you on this one.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Paramount Plus is a great network. I'm actually, boy, what? How smart is that? Let's have back-to-back Star Trek shows that makes you not cancel and come back.
Yeah. That sounds like
a That's good a really plan. Smart business model.
It sure was. So it got me stuck. I mean, I bought it for the year, so I'm good. Go check it out.
100%. Chuck, what have you got for us?
Well, since David took the low-hanging fruit, I'm going to suggest, and the TV seems to be the theme of the day here, I'm going to suggest an Apple TV series that you may have overlooked, and that is We Crashed. WeWork. I've finished it recently, and I was just blown away at how good it was, and I'm the only thing I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm being very careful here, but I would tell you, if you have any interest in business and how, you know, businesses work, and you know all the headlines we see about things, like right now we're going through Elon Musk and buying Twitter, and you think, how does some of this stuff happen? This is a really, really interesting examination of the whole WeWork phenomenon. And if you think it, from the first episode, if you think that the actor playing Adam Neumann is overdoing it, go to YouTube and watch any of the clips of the real Adam Neumann. And yes, you will say, you know, man, he just nailed it spot on. This was just super entertaining. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's probably one of the favorite things I've watched so far on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, it's yet another really good Apple TV Plus show. Like, they have so many now that it's getting hard to remember all of them. But yeah, I'm with you. We Crashed. I've watched, and it's like Jared Leto is just awesome at it. Like sure, it's a TV show. So some things might be a little bit overdone because it's entertainment. But as you said, watch the real guy. He is kind of that way. And Anne Hathaway as his wife also does a really good job. And I've heard in like some other podcasts and so on, people talking about that it is actually not that far off, even for her. That's it. At the end of the day, it's a TV show. So some stuff might be. Some stuff might be close, and some stuff might be more, let's say, fictional. That's totally fine. It's entertainment. This is not a documentary.
But you know, Patrice, the thing that gets me, I mean, we all love, listen, I love Star Trek as much as anybody, but you know, some of the other shows that are fictionalized and all, and there's so many fascinating real life stories out there that, you know, even if they have, I hate to say tweaked, because, but you know, you can't go through, you know, multiple years of things, you know, in a season and do everything deadly accurate. So you have to compress some things. But I'm really liking more and more of these shows that are being developed that are based on real things that happened. That if you care enough or absorbed enough in it, you can go back and, you know, get a whole lot more detail. Maybe it's the best way to say it, through videos or books or, you know, whatever. But yeah, this one, I mean, I had paid a little bit of attention to WeWork, not as much as I probably should have when all this was happening. And this just made me go back and really want to say, you know, did this really happen? Did that really happen? Yeah, it really did. You know, maybe a little bit different timing, but it really happened.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I mean, the whole thing, there was a podcast recently where Adam Newman was actually on, and actually not Adam, his partner, I'm banking on his name.
Rebecca?
No, the co-founder, basically.
Oh, yeah.
The architect guy.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on his name, but he was on and he said, yes, like a lot of that stuff actually happened. Like, yes, we actually created like a school, basically. And yes, we actually did all of this thing. And it was actually as crazy as it's portrayed. Sure, not everything, as you said, not everything. Like, not every line is exactly how it happened. And not every detail is exactly how it happened. But the general craziness and the general direction is correct.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, highly recommend watching it. Yeah. It is insane. WeWork was such a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other crazy part.
Yeah. Yeah, if you needed a reason, if you haven't found one yet, to go and at least do your Apple TV Plus subscription trial, this is it.
I'm not sure this is it. I think there are like, I can name 5 shows that are it. Like, they get it and then basically like take the next 2 weeks off. Because there are so many good shows. Like, this is one, and then like Severance and Ted Lasso and... Mm-hmm. A lot of the other shows, like, basically, I mean, you honestly, if you did the trial now, you could be watching TV nonstop, like not sleeping, not eating, not anything, and you probably would run out of good content before the trial ends. You would not run out this way.
Yeah, probably true.
Yeah.
Were you talking about the co-founder of WeWork?
Mm-hmm.
Miguel McKelvey?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thanks. That's a great one. Jeff, did you manage to find a cool thing for today?
I did. Yay. But of course, Dave took it. But I have a backup cool thing. But before my backup cool thing, I'm going to pile on what Dave said. I actually did watch the entire episode, and it feels like if the original series was being made today. Because it's very much, I mean, we only have one episode so far, but it very much has that episodic feel.
Yeah.
And and it was a nicely done self-contained story.
Yeah.
And they, you get just a little bit of backstory stuff, right? You know, it's the first episode. And you do see how it fits in with the rest of the Trek universe. And they don't waste time on that, though. Mm-hmm. They go in and tell the story, and it's about the story, and it's about the characters. And
it's not spending 5 hours on the characters that we already know. It's saying, yeah, sure, there's Spock, and there's Kirk, and there's like Nerd, and there's what's her name?
Yeah, there's Uhura, and
all of them are there, but they're not spending 5 hours on each of them. They're saying, "Oh, they're there. Cool.
Yep.
Now let's have an adventure."
Right, and it's done really well, mm-hmm. and everything looks close enough to the original series without feeling dated. I mean, it's clearly totally modernized,
mm-hmm.
It feels like what they would do with the sets and the costumes and everything had the original Trek been made now.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
Yeah, there's no point in replicating the past. Because that was 50 years, over 50 years
ago. Over 50 years ago. By the way, this is the longest pilot to pick up in history.
True.
Yeah, it took a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my actual pick is Slow Horses. It's a new series on Apple TV Plus. I've watched just the first episode, and it's wonderful. It has Gary Oldman in it, and he's fantastic. The premise is you have this team of MI5 agents, and they're the misfits and the troublemakers. They're the problem children, And so they're all being punished essentially by being thrown into their own team and given the crap cases. But it turns out the crap cases that they get are actually really important, because of course they are. And it's really well written. It's really well shot. The acting is great. The actors in the series are great. It's a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to watching more.
I have to check that out. Like I've not heard about this at all. So
it's brand new on Apple TV Plus.
Okay. Yeah, I have this on my list of things to do, Jeff. That it looked intriguing. So I'm glad to hear you got through the first episode and were encouraged enough to continue.
Yeah, and you know, that's saying something, because I am so fickle with what I watch on television. And I've been known to turn off a pilot episode of something halfway through and never look back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. If it doesn't grab me right away, I don't watch it. Okay, I have just decided I'm going to switch mine around as well, because since you picked all shows, I'm not going to pick something from Apple TV Plus. Because I think we picked it up. But I have something from HBO Max, and that is the second season of, I should grab the link as well, of The Flight Attendant.
I'm watching that too.
The first season was really, really good, and I really enjoyed it. And it was great. Like it's a crazy story, really, if you think about it. Like, yes. Because it's what's her name? Kelly Cuoco. Coco, yeah, as a flight attendant, and like she gets involved with some shady business going on. Like, it's not her fault. Like, she just gets used, basically. In the first season, like, there's a murder, basically, right away. I'm not giving anything away because it's in a trailer. And how she deals with that and how she gets out of that mess, basically, and the mess that her life also is because of it. And the second season kind of deals with the aftermath, I would say, almost of that. And she is an alcoholic. And honestly, I mean, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't really drink. So I don't know how close this is to real, but it feels really real. And from my perspective, this might be the best depiction of alcoholism that I've seen so far. Because it goes really into her, like, it's really crazy. Yeah. They jump into her mind, and she has different, like, you know, that, like, the devil and the angel on your shoulder kind of thing.
Alter egos.
The alter egos, yeah. But they have that basically as like a room that she goes into. And there are her different personality parts there as her, basically. And like, there's the party girl and the depressed person and all of that. And she interacts with them. And this conflict that happens within her is, as I said, really, really, really done well. And there's like this mystery, and there's like murders and other stuff that's happening that kind of drives her also in a certain direction. And like, she struggles with a lot of it. So it's a really good show. So like,
agree. Every time I watched the whole first season, I just got through, I think, the first two episodes of season two. And yeah, it makes you just stay engulfed in the show. I mean, you watch it, and you're right. It's just very suspenseful, but it's supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah. I mean, it does have some funny moments, but it's also, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it says here drama, comedy, mystery, and thriller. And I think that's kind of, yes, these are kind of the three parts coming together. It's like, the cast is really great. She obviously is really good.
Yeah.
There is, and I always blank on her name, Ava Salara from The Expanse is in this season. And I'm always happy to see her. I blank on the actor's name. But yeah, good show.
All right, I'm adding it to my list.
Yeah, I just added it too.
Fun. Go ahead. That's good. And Chuck, I can promise you it's not as crazy as the other shows I've recommended.
I admit, Patrice, I did put an asterisk beside this. This is a Patrice recommendation, so proceed with caution.
No, in this case, it's fine. All right, gentlemen. I think that is the end of the show. Perfect timing, a little bit over an hour. Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. By the time you listen to this, we'll have our episode with Chuck on the show, with Jeff, as always, of course. You find me on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/DaveG65, where we live stream and have all the past episodes. I'm here on Fridays on the Mac Show. I'm on Tuesday nights. I'm on Mac Voices Live with our great crew and many of us that join in. I'm on Twitter at DaveG65. Great job, Patrice.
Thank you. And thank you for being here as well, Chuck. Where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you always find me. Right now, I'm releasing a bunch of the interviews that I shot at NAB this year. A lot of really interesting things there that are Apple related and Apple adjacent as well. As David said, we do Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. We'd love to have you join us in the YouTube chat at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. That way you can question and harass us the way that some of our friends do on a pretty regular basis. And as always, I'm on the socials as at Chuck Joyner and at Mac Voices. Patrice Brenda Moore, IS.
Nice. And Jeff, our iHost, where can people find you?
Well, when I'm not showing up, basically an hour late for the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut on both. YouTube.com/JayGamut for some videos. Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live. Thursdays early in the day on The Big Show. And then in the evenings on In Touch with iOS. And here on Fridays on The Mac Show. And then Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up for The Context Machine. And we are having a lot of fun with that. And I'm trying to think, what other shows have I done recently? I've been so busy that with life that I feel like I'm forgetting some shows. But anyhow, I get around. I'm easy to find.
Very nice. Thank you.
And Patrice, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me every week here on The Mac Show on a Friday. Also, The Big Show on a Thursday, usually. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links and like all of that, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about their food-related stories and memories and everything that just goes with that, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. Go listen to that. Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for the chat room, for being here and talking to us. And even Muller Biker, even though sometimes he's hard to understand. It's just him. still entertaining. So it's always fun to have him. Thank you all, and see you next week.